All right, everybody, here we go. So we're on Daf Zayin Amud Beis. There's a Mishnah down on the bottom. So we came up a little short yesterday, so let's get rolling. The Mishnah says as follows, right? We're in the middle of what's known as the Ein Beins, right? The distinguishing factors between different things. So Ein Beins, Shabbos, Liyom HaKippurim, Ela Shezeh Zedonu B'Dei Adam, V'Zeh Zedonu B'Kareis. That there's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. This is obviously with regards to the punishment. Obviously, you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, and you do eat on Shabbos, right? You know, there are differences. But with regards to the punishments, like Tosis explained earlier on the page, when we're talking about Shabbos and Yom Tov, so there's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur, except that Shabbos is Zdono B'Dei Adam, meaning that the Beis Din implements the penalty of Skila, and Yom Kippur is Zdono B'Kares, right? Yom Kippur, if somebody violates the Yom HaKippurim, does Malacha on the Yom HaKippurim, so then they get Kares. So the Gemara says, Hali Inyan Tashlumin Zev Zeh Shavin. So the Gemara seems to say, if there's no difference by the punishments, except that one is kares and one is misas beisdin. So that means with regards to tashlumin, this is the famous sugi of kim lebe derabamine, right? If somebody, let's say, lights somebody else's field on fire, Rashi uses this example, right, on Shabbos, so lighting a fire on Shabbos is violating the Shabbos. Also, at the same time, you destroy the other person's field. So that's bad luck for the other person, because the halacha is that you get the death penalty, and when you get the death penalty, you don't have to pay the money, right, that would be liable in that same action. So the same thing would be true by Yom Kippur. If somebody would do the same on Yom Kippur, so Yom Kippur does not carry the death penalty. Yom Kippur carries a prohibition of kares, but the same law would be true, the same, I don't know if you call it a leniency or not, I don't know, you end up with kares, but the same law would be true, right, that a person would get kares but would not have to pay the money. So mani masnisin Rabbi Nechunya ben Akanehi. So whose opinion is this? It's Rabbi Nechunya ben Akanehi's opinion. The Tanya Rabbi Nechunya ben Akanehi Yoses Yom HaKippurim Kishabes L'tashlumin. Right, that anybody who gets kares, now generally speaking, kares also carries with it an Isser Makos, so that if somebody gets Hasra, that they shouldn't violate, let's say, this prohibition, let's say Yom Kippur, is Isser Kares, they shouldn't violate Yom Kippur, and if they do, then they can get Makos, so then you can get Makos also. Now, what the Mishnah here is teaching is that if somebody doesn't act, which would be liable for Kares, Kevan Shalaka Hareyu Ka'achicha, but if they get Makos, so if the Beis Din gives Makos, the Beis Din gives lashes, so Divrei Rechanani ben Gamliel says that he would no longer get the kares. So the makos would absolve from the kares. Rambam over here writes that this also assumes you do teshuva, so that teshuva and makos can absolve from the prohibition of kares. Amar Rav Yochanan chalukin olav chavei Rav Aaron Rechanani ben Gamliel, and Rav Yochanan said that the sages disagreed with this teaching of Rechanani ben Gamliel. They did not agree on that, and that you could get out of kares by getting makos. Amar Rava Amri Bey Rav Tanina Ein Bein Yom HaKippurim L'Shabbos El Shezez Dono Bidei Adam V'Zez Dono Bidei Kares. Now Rava is trying to prove whether or not you can get out of Kares by getting Makos. So Rava said, what did our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah said that the distinguishing factor between Yom HaKippurim and Shabbos is that Shabbos is Zidono B'Dei Adam. The Beis Din implements the punishment for violating Shabbos. And Yom HaKippurim is Kares, is not in the hands of the Beis Din. But V'im Issa, but if Reb Chananim and Gamliel is correct, and the Beis Din can get you out of Kares by giving Makos, V'im Issa, so Idi V'Idi B'Dei Adam. So then really, the punishment for violating Yom HaKippurim is in the hands of Beis Din, because Beis Din can get you out of the Kares by giving you Makos. So Amar Rav Nachman, Hamani, Rav Yitzchak, Kino, but maybe our Mishnah is really the teaching of Rav Yitzchak. To Amar Makos b'chayvei krisas leka, because Rav Yitzchak doesn't believe that you can get Makos in a scenario of kares. He thinks that that doesn't apply. To Tani Rav Yitzchak Omer chayvei krisas b'chlal hayu v'loma yotzis kares b'achoso la lidona b'kares v'lo b'makos. Right. So Rav Yitzchak learns this specifically by Arayos. It's a davar shahayu b'chlal v'yotza min achlal lo b'lamed el kalkulo yotza. I hope that made sense. Right. right? Because I can't explain it right now, but that's how he learns it from the psukim, right? That that you cannot give makos in a scenario where one is liable for kares. Rav Ashi Amar Filu Teimu Rabbanon Zeikar Zdono Bidei Adam Zeikar Zdono Bidei Kares. Or alternatively, you can understand that you're right, that if you give makos in a scenario of kares, that you can absolve from the makos, but really the main punishment is kares. So that when the Mishnah says that the distinguishing factor between Shabbos Yom Kippur is that this is in the hands of Beis Din and this is in the hands of Shamayim, so that's really true. You're right. There's a back door. You might be able to get out of it, but really, primarily, right, it's in the hands of Beis Din as opposed to primarily in the hands of Shamayim. Good. The Mishnah says in the top of Chesamaral, that there is no distinction between somebody who makes a general prohibition. I'm not going to have any benefit from you. You got to be really angry at somebody. You do something like that. Maybe there's other reasons also. I don't know. You say, promise somebody makes, I'm not going to have any benefit from you. Or alternatively, a promise that you're not going to have any benefit from food from the other person or food-related items from the other person. You see, the primary benefit is always food. That's what you see, right? Ella, but you know what the distinction is? Is drisas haregel. Can you use theirs? Can you walk through their property, right? So let's say you say, I'm not going to have any benefit from you, so then you can't even go into their property. You can't even walk through their yard. But if you just say, I'm not going to derive any food benefit from you, so then you could walk through their yard. V'kelim she'eino simbeino ochel nevesh, or using utensils that have got nothing to do with food. So let's say like a shovel or something like that, right? So then if you say, I'm not going to have any benefit from you, you're not allowed to use that either. The Gemara says, Hala inyan kelim she'osem ben ochel nefesh zevizeh shavin. Okay, but with regards to food-related items, so then they would all be prohibited. So let's say I'm not going to have any food-related benefit from a person. I'm also not allowed to use their pots, pans, or anything of that nature. Drisas haregel, right? I'm not allowed to walk through your property, or I am allowed to walk through your property, depending on the kind of vow that I made. Hala kapti inchi, but people don't care. You walk through your property. Oh, you see that, by the way? Yeah, everyone sees that. The general assumption is that people don't care if you walk through their property. I know that's always a big deal. Someone's got like a cut through something, it makes it shorter, you know, to go there. So some people care, some people don't care. General assumption in the Gemara is that you don't care. That's the general assumption. Maybe that's a good way to be, maybe not, but that's the general assumption that people don't care. If you're going to walk through my property, so people don't care. So Amar Rava, Hamani, whose opinion is that? Rabbi Elazar. This is Rabbi Elazar's opinion to Amar Vitor, Asar, B'moder, Ano. Rabbi Elazar assumes that's something that people, generally speaking, don't care about. If I make a vow that I'm not going to have any anah from a person, so that I am still not allowed to derive benefit even from something that they don't care about. In other words, what the Gemara is asking is like this. The Mishnah said that walking through somebody's property would be a distinguishing factor between somebody who makes a vow, they're not going to have any anah from somebody, and somebody who makes a vow, I'm just not going to have food-related anah from somebody. Meaning that if I make a vow, I'm not going to have any anah from you, I am not allowed to walk through your property, because that's considered benefit. So Rabbi Elazar says that assumes that walking through your property is considered benefit. You see, the Chachamim believe that since nobody cares if you walk through my property, then that's not even benefit. That's just like nothing. It doesn't even count. Walking through somebody's property, it doesn't even register as benefit, according to the Chachamim. Rabbi Elazar assumes that it does register as benefit, and so therefore this Mishnah represents the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that walking through somebody's property is considered benefit. You would not be allowed to do that if you made a vow not to receive any benefit from them. Next Mishnah. Am I explaining this stuff okay? Yeah, okay, fine. Very good. Next Mishnah. Ein bein nidarim linidavos elosha nidarim chayev b'achriyuson nidavos einan chayev b'achriyuson. Good. That the only difference between a neder and an adava is that a neder, if something happens to the item, let's say it's an animal, right? It's generally speaking, you make a neder that this animal, you know, you're going to give this animal for a korban or whatnot, and then something happens to that animal, you've got to provide a backup, you've got to provide a replacement, right, for that animal. But if a nadava that you make that this animal you're going to give to a korban, and something happens to the animal, you don't need to give a replacement. So the distinguishing factor between a neder and a nedava is that you need to replace a neder, you don't need to replace a nedava. Now the Gemara will explain it a little bit. Hola inyan bal ta'acher zevizeh shavin. But when it comes to the time limit in which you have to pay it, they're the same. It's a big machlokas, right? In the Mishnah, how long do you have to pay? It has to do with three regalim and the order of those regalim, right? But there's a time limit. Then you make a vow, you got to pay within a certain window. right? You can't go beyond that. So that's true both of a neder and of an nedava. Tanan Hasam, the Mishnah says, Ezu hu neder, what is a neder? A neder is a omer hare a lie ola. If somebody says, I am responsible to give an ola. Ezu hu nedava, what's a nedava? Ha omer hare zu ola. If you say this animal is going to be an ola. Uma be nedarim le nedavos, The difference between a neder and a dava is that when it comes to a neder, if something happens, the animal dies, it's stolen, it's lost, then you have to bring a replacement. Nedavos, but when it comes to a nedava, if it dies or it's stolen or it's lost, you don't need to bring another in its stead. Why is this true? Where does this come from? It is accepted for you for atonement on you. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Esha Alav, Olav. If it's on you, Chayav Achri Yuson, then you have to bring a replacement. Vesha Eino Olav, but if it's not on you, Eino Chayav Achri Yuson. So if you say, I am responsible to bring an Ola, so then if the animal dies, you have to bring a replacement because the responsibility is on you. If conversely you say this animal is going to be an Ola, so then if something happens to that animal, you don't have to bring a replacement because you never took the responsibility on yourself. You said this animal is going to be an Ola. So that's the distinguishing factor between a Neder and a Nedava. Neder is something that you take personal responsibility. Nedava is something that you put on the item. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi came into Amar once you say it's on you, so it's like you're carrying it on your shoulders. Next Mishnah. Okay, let's try to do this really quickly, right? A zav is somebody who has some kind of a physical emission from their body. It's similar to a seminal emission, but it's not the same thing. Right, so depending on if a person sees it once or twice or three times, either all in the same day or in concurrent days, so the halachas will be different. What is the status both in terms of tumah and in terms of a korban that a person needs to bring? So a zav is somebody who has this discharge. Haroesh shtei re'ios, if he sees twice, either in the same day or in consecutive days, right? So, or sholosh, leroesh sholosh, if he sees three times in the same day or in three consecutive days, ela korban. The difference between the two is whether he has to bring a korban. So if you see 3 days in a row or three in the same day, then you have to bring a korban when you become tahor, as opposed to if you only see twice, either in the same day or in consecutive days, so you don't have to bring a korban when you become tahor. The Gemara is going to explain a little bit. Holy inyan mishkav umoshav usfiras shiva zevezesh shavin. Oh, so the distinguishing factor between a zav who sees twice or three times is if he has to bring a korban. But with regards to the type of tumah that they have and the duration of that tumah, it's all the same. So, by the way, what is the duration of the tumah for zav who sees two or three times? Shiva nikiyim. You thought shiva nikiyim was only a lady's thing. It's not true, right? A man can have to wait shiva nikiyim if he becomes a zav, right? If he sees two or three times, either, then he has to wait shiva nikiyim. And also mishkav umoshav. Mishkav umoshav is the kind of tumah and tara that he gives. So, the tumah's mishkav or moshav means that anything that he sits on becomes tameh, even if he doesn't touch it. So like, if he sits on something and there's like, something underneath, so he doesn't touch it, but there's like something underneath the cushion or whatever, so then that thing becomes tameh also, right? Or if he lays down on something, right? So that's both by two or three. Now, minahani mili, where does this come from? The Tanur Rabbanu Rav Simai Omer, if you look in the psukim by zav, so they repeat the word zav. So one pasuk says v'ishkia zav mipsaro zovo tamehu. So it says zav twice, so that you become a zav twice, then you become tameh. Different pasuk says zav three times. Vizos tumaso bizovo ror bisaro zovo oechtim bisaro mizovo tumaso he. So it says zav three times in that pasuk, so you can become a zav right by seeing twice. You can become a zav by seeing three times. Hakeitzad, what does that mean? How does that work? So shtayim l'tuma u'shalosh l'korban. So once you see twice, now you're in the hole for tuma. So now you got to wait shiva nikiyim, right? And mishkav u'moshav. daven, anything you sit or lay down on. But the third time adds another layer that when you become tahor after those 7 days, so you also have to bring a korban. Ve'emar shtayin l'tumah v'lo l'korban, shalosh l'korban v'lo l'tumah. How do you know that that goes that way? Maybe it goes the other way. When you see twice, now you have to bring a korban. Only when you see three times, then you become tameh. How do you know that the tumah comes first and the korban comes second? Maybe really the korban comes first and the tumah comes second. So amrisat shalo rosh, shalosh rosh shtayim. You can't get to three without passing two. All right, you've got to get to two before you get to three. Ve'emar shtayim l'korban v'lo l'tumah. So, but still, how do you know that that two, maybe two is korban and three is tumah? Shalosh af l'tumah, and then three would also be tumah. You're right, but the korban would kick in at two, not at three. So lo soka daitach, cannot be. The Tanya v'chipera lov hakohen lifnei Hashem mizovo, that the kohen accepts his korban before God mizovo, meaning from his zav. So mikzah zavin may be in korban, or mikzah zavin ain't may be in korban. So we learn from there that there are some zavin who bring a korban, but some zavin who don't bring a korban. So we know that the korban is split. We don't know that tumah is split. That's why we know that tumah kicks in at two and zav kicks in at three. Huh? Ketzad rosh shalosh maybe shtai meino maybe. So if he sees 3 days, three in the same day or three consecutive days, then he brings a korban, but two does not. Oh, ena ela ra abeis maybe shalosh eino maybe. So maybe it should be the other way. Maybe if he sees two, he should bring a korban, right? And three should not. Amar sachelo rosh shalosh. It can't be, because you can't get to three without passing two. So it must be that two is for tumah and three is for korban. I'm going to finish this piece. Right, then you need both. You need both Rabbi Simoi, who told us the number of times it says zav in the pasuk, two in one, three in the other. And you also need this drasha, mizovo, that some zav bring a korban and some don't. And I can't just get away with one and not the other. If I only had Rabbi Simoi, the number of times it says in the pasuk hava mina kikushin, then I wouldn't be sure which way it goes. Does tuma go first or does korban go first? Kamash mala mizovo. That's why I need mizovo to tell me that some zavs bring a korban and others don't. The imizovo lo yadana kamarios kamash mala and Rabbi Simoi. And if I only had mizovo, which told me that some zavs bring a korban and some zavs don't bring a korban, then I wouldn't know how many though, how many days you'd have to see in a row, or how many times to see in that day, which would require you to bring the korban. But I would know that korban goes second, but I wouldn't know how many, right? How many you would need in order to tip that scale? All right, I was hoping we'd go a little more, but we'll have to stop here tonight. All right, good.